Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
After a day of silence on Twitter, this morning President Trump responded to yesterday's testimony by fired FBI Director James Comey, tweeting, "Despite so many false statements and lies, total and complete vindication, and wow, Comey is a leaker." Democratic House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi responded on MSNBC that she's concerned about Trump's fitness for office after testimony that he pressured Comey to stop an investigation, and she suggested Trump needed more sleep. It's the day after the most anticipated Senate testimony in a long time, but this week also saw an upset vote in Britain, the U.S. House vote to remove many aspects of Dodd-Frank. Oh, and this was Infrastructure Week, so let's now go to our weekly political roundtable.
And joining us today, Rick Klein, political director at ABC News. Hi, Rick.
Great to be with you.
And Ayesha Roscoe, White House correspondent at Reuters. Hi, Ayesha.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. And Rick, let me start with you. 24 hours or so after the Comey testimony and all that we've seen since then, what's the impact of this? Is it the game changer that people thought it would be?
It's a signal moment in the history of this president and perhaps of the presidency. The former FBI director directly accusing the president of the United States of lying, of manipulating, of trying to co-opt him and get special treatment. But we're seeing the reaction fall a lot where people thought they would come in. No huge enough bombshell to really change perceptions that we know of. And we're seeing an aggressive attempt now to undermine James Comey. The fact is, though, you have the fact is that both of these men can't be telling the truth. Someone's lying, either the president of the United States or the former director of the FBI. That's extraordinary.
Ayesha, what's your takeaway from it?
Well, it seems like for now, President Trump is taking the position that this has kind of vindicated him. It's almost as if, and Donald Trump Jr. said this last night, this is over now, and so now we can just move forward. I think that that's probably not going to be the case because, as was said earlier, even though Comey did say that President Trump was not under investigation when he was at the Bureau, he did accuse the president of lying. And so that issue is not going to go away. And this issue of whether what President Trump did to Comey amounts to obstruction, that's not going away either. So I think that this is just kind of like the beginning of a very long process.
Well, you know, I want to ask both of you, because many analysts also said that was then that he wasn't under investigation. He may be now. So, Rick, let's take up the president's tweet this morning that he was vindicated. Comey did say yesterday that President Trump never said to him to entirely stop the Russia investigation, but Comey was firm that Trump said he hoped Comey would stop one aspect of the investigation, the part that was investigating Michael Flynn. So your thoughts?
I think there's an irony here in his ouster of Comey is that on the day that James Comey was fired, President Trump could say that he was not under investigation. Today, he cannot say that. His aides cannot say that because the investigation has expanded. It's now in Bob Mueller's court. And yes, there are aspects of what President Trump has said that are backed up by Director Comey, specifically the three assurances that he was not under investigation. And as you mentioned, no direct action to say you have to end this investigation. However, there's a big caveat here, which is the broad case that that Director Comey is now presenting to Bob Mueller that potentially could get to obstruction of justice. So the investigation has almost certainly expanded since Director Comey has been fired, and Donald Trump is very likely to be under a lot more legal scrutiny, a lot more legal jeopardy than he was a month ago.
And Ayesha, you were pointing out, you know, this idea of accusing Comey of being the leaker. NPR's learned that Donald Trump's lawyer will file a complaint with the DOJ, the Department of Justice, about Comey admitting that he sat up in the middle of the night, decided to call his friend at Columbia University to send his memoirs to the press. But we also understand the DOJ's inspector general has no power to compel testimony from someone who's no longer there, which, you know, Comey isn't. So what about the Trump campaign and the Trump lawyer trying to now position Comey as a leaker?
Yes, and I guess that politically it seems like that's a strategy that they can do to definitely play to their base to say, look, this wasn't right. He's leaking to the press. That has a very negative connotation. But to take it a step further and to say now we're going to file a complaint, that it also brings more scrutiny onto President Trump, because now there are people who are saying that this is an abuse. Basically, you're retaliating against someone who's a whistleblower, that you could look at James Comey and say that he was trying to show something that was going on in the government, and he's no longer in the government.
Yeah, I mean,
so
the
punishment for him is unclear. So it's unclear what could really be gained from the complaints, other than kind of some political score, scoring some political points, but it could also backfire on the president.
Let's talk about some of the reaction from members of Congress. And the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, responded to the hearings yesterday and defended the actions of the president in his conversations with Comey. Here's what he had to say.
He's new at government. And so, therefore, I think that he's learning as he goes. And you now know why he's frustrated, because he was told nothing wrong here. And he wants to get things done for the American people.
Rick, is that good enough for the Speaker of the House to say that the president did this thing that some people believe to be illegal because he's new at government?
I don't think that would fly in a court of law if it happened to one of us. I think he's right, but that's not an excuse. That's not an explanation. And he's got people around him, or should have people around him, that explain what's proper and what's not. And I think from the account of Director Comey delivered under oath yesterday, it's very clear that President Trump knew what he was doing, in the sense of clearing the room, of making these particular conversations, of having very specific talks with Director Comey. He seemed to know exactly what he was doing. And if he didn't know it was improper, I think I have a hard time squaring that. He's the president of the United States. This is not someone that just took over the night shift at McDonald's. You got to learn the practices. You have to learn how the law is governed. So I don't think that's going
to
work.
And by the way, I think that probably taking over the night shift at McDonald's is hard.
No offense to the people who work the night shift at McDonald's.
Right. But you've got a policy manual even there.
Right. But Aisha, take up this notion that nothing else is getting covered, or maybe even done. Healthcare, tax cuts. The president declared this infrastructure week. He's out talking about it today, but I'm not sure that really was able to get through. What is this doing to the Trump presidency?
Well, it's hurting them from getting their message out. I mean, the staff and the aides, I guess, are saying that they're just powering through and that they are going to, you know, focus on the president's agenda. But clearly, there's no way that this is not a distraction. Now, I guess the Senate is moving ahead with some things on health care, and maybe they'll get a vote on that soon.
Although Senator Lindsey Graham came out this week and said he doesn't think there's going to be a health care bill passed this year. That's a Republican.
Yeah, and so they have that. But what it also has done is it hasn't really given the president time to sell these policies. I mean, he's done some talking on infrastructure this week, but because everyone's so focused on Comey, there's not really much airtime for him to be selling why he's, you know, his take on health care, his take on tax reform. So this is stopping them from being able to make their case to the American public on anything else other than, you know, I'm not under investigation for Russia. So that can't really be a good week for the White House.
One thing that they did do this week, and this is the Republican House, they passed the Financial Choice Act, they're calling it, which undoes a lot of the Dodd-Frank financial reform law that was passed in the wake of the financial crisis to stop another financial crisis from happening. That was passed in 2010. So we're talking about it took 7 years for the Congress to decide that they didn't want all of those things that people felt were necessary to prevent another crisis. Rick, do you think, first of all, that this is going to make it through the Senate and put us at risk of another financial crisis?
It's a fascinating development, because I think it speaks to a few things. One is that for all the talk of the stalled agenda, there are still things the president can do. Now, your question, the Senate is going to take this up and have a much different take, but the direction of less regulation is real, and it is happening, and it will continue to happen even in the midst of this, even with the rest of the agenda essentially paralyzed, stalled. There will be things that happen. Second, I think it speaks to the disconnect between the big story that we're all covering and what goes on in much of the country. The fact is that these financial regulations have been seen as something holding back small businesses. So to the extent that you agree with the Trump agenda, there are a lot of people that are going to be celebrating this in the business community.
Yeah, well, there was another big news, seismic news yesterday out of Britain, that British Prime Minister Theresa May, who decided to call a vote to sort of confirm the support that she had in going ahead in the Brexit negotiations, really lost that vote in that she lost seats in Parliament. She's got to come up with a new government. What is this? You know, draw a line, Rick, if you would, from Brexit to the U.S. Is there one?
There is. First, I think that the United States doesn't have a monopoly on dumb politicians, because this was a dumb political move to call this vote. But secondly, and I think more relevant, we're seeing this churn in our politics, and it is going back and forth. And you can't capture the sentiment and say there's a populist center-right or right-wing movement that's sweeping the world. People aren't sure what they want. And
right.
I think you're seeing a kind of crazy gyration in either direction.
Well, because I think it's amazing. I mean, it's counterintuitive. In Britain, they've just had two major attacks. You'd think that people would flock to the polls to vote for the conservative, which is what people usually do for security reasons after attacks. They didn't.
That's exactly right. And I think that you're seeing just a much different direction and now a government that's going to be in chaos for some time, even as they try to unwind from Brexit.
That's Rick Klein, political director at ABC News, and Aisha Roscoe, White House correspondent at Reuters. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.